Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, maybe I've been an ignorant...
Maybe you're a bit out of line.
This podcast contains graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Now, with that being said, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast.
Right, let's do this.
So this is something, you know, without fail, I will pack every time I go on holiday. And that is excessive amounts of underwear. I mean, excusing my time as a baby, I have never shit myself.
Okay.
But I am terrified I'm going to shit myself every day of the holiday.
Yeah.
So if I say I need 5 pairs of underwear, I'm packing at least 15 or 20.
You're planning on shitting yourself.
I'm not planning on it, but I'm erring on the side of caution. Neil.
Okay.
You got to be careful. I think other people do this. I know you've told me that you think I'm a little bit over the top of this. You know, it's always better to be prepared.
Okay.
No?
I may have shit myself.
Times. But that's nobody's business but your own. Apart from the flight attendants.
Hot sauce related or...
incidents, yeah.
That's something that always worried me when I was a delivery driver.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, I could easily get caught short on the fucking road.
Well, you don't want to... If you're going to shit yourself, you'd like to shit yourself in your own home, wouldn't you? You don't want to be on the road.
But you don't want to shit yourself in your own home. You have a toilet there. Why would you shit yourself?
You've told me about you've woke up in the middle of the night with your stomach gurgling.
I have.
And you've had to get there quick.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
It could have been a shit the bed
I could
situation.
Have, but I didn't because there was a fucking shit house there for me to use.
Yeah. Point still stands, though. If you're going to shit yourself, you'd rather do it in your own home.
Yeah.
A couple shout outs to do, lads.
Can I do the first one?
Of course you can.
I'm wanting to...
Well, the thing
I'm
is, you're
to do my impression.
I think people prefer when you do the shout outs all the time because you're a tad more charismatic than me.
No, I think what I'm going to do, you would do anyway off your own back. So this is my impression. Okay. I hope she likes it.
Mm-hmm.
So our first shout out goes to Samantha.
Oh, I'm Samantha.
You get what I mean, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I do. Oh, I'm Samantha. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Do we tell people what's wrong or do we just leave them?
No, because I don't want her to think I'm insulting her.
No, I think, right, if you know what we're referencing there, you know, let us know.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people get it. It was pretty popular, that.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I bet if you search Samantha into like the GIF search,
yeah,
it will come up.
Okay.
Oh, I'm Samantha.
If you don't get it, watch Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Well, you're just giving it away now.
Well.
Right, well, okay, there you go. Thank you so much, Samantha. We appreciate you. Our next shout out is to Debbie. Deb? Deb, Deb?
Debs.
Debs. The Deb.
The Deb.
The.
The Deb. She's got the Deb.
Yeah, oh, she's got a Deb.
Oh, she's got a Deb.
We're not doing great. We're really insulting the people who support us.
Well, we're struggling mentally at the minute anyway.
Yeah. So thank you, Deb Deb.
And Samantha.
We really do appreciate it. Thank you so much. Like Neil briefly mentioned there, we are struggling a bit at the moment. We've been going through it, lads. If you didn't know, there was a storm in Ireland.
Two.
The last one was particularly bad. And although we weren't massively affected by the storm itself, we've had the aftermath of some of the damage from it. And our electric is fucked.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get it fixed. So right now we are recording.
Just off the battery power of the laptop.
Yes. So we are trying to get this episode done. And obviously it's not the best. So we apologize if the audio isn't up to par. But
yeah.
We're trying our best. We'll make sure we get the episode out to you. But it's I was going to say it's been a day. It's been a period of time.
Yeah.
So far. But we'll get there in the end, won't we?
Yeah.
Sure, look it. This is it.
We've just got to fucking work everything off of an extension reel.
Yeah. We're getting there.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
So, with our sob story out of the way, what you got for us?
Well, today, Neil, we are going to be talking about the murder of Warren Barnes.
Okay, I don't know that one.
Mm.
Well, I don't even, why do I keep saying it?
Because the thing is, I think I kind of set you up. I say it and lead it like, huh?
Yeah.
Huh? And you're always like, okay. Like, what do you want me to do about this? Also, before we get into today's episode, given the situation we're in with the electric, you may hear Ty or Norman chime in the background just because of how we're having to record. So again, apologies if Ty is giving an unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
But he's very vocal.
We've got the door open so we can keep an eye on him because Ty keeps licking one of the extensions, which is worrying. So go on. Tell me about Warren.
On the 1st of March, 2021, at 1:48 p.m., a 911 call was placed from the home of the Cohey family.
Cohey. Okay.
Terry Cohey tells the dispatcher that she has found the decomposing head of a man in the closet of her son's bedroom. Her son Brian, who was at his friend's house at the time of the discovery, receives a call from his parents, telling him to come home immediately. But they don't tell him what the reason is, instead telling him that they need the car back for his brother's driving lessons.
And did he say he got it off the internet?
He did not.
Okay.
He's pretty to the point, this guy. So officers soon arrive at the residence, but they don't have their sirens on as to not alert Brian.
Yeah.
The officers approach Brian somewhat nonchalantly. The officer says to Brian, quote, "Your parents have concerns of some stuff they may have found in your room. What would it be?" Brian calmly replies, "A human head and hands."
See, Brian's one of them as well, like Kevin.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those names. Brian. Yeah, a bit sus of him. Keep an eye on him.
You have to prove yourself to me before I can trust you, if your name's Brian or Kevin.
So the officer says to him, "How did you end up with him?" Brian says, "I murdered him." He states, "I've always wondered what murder felt like." He's completely open and honest about what he had done. He tells them who he had murdered, what the weapon was, and where he had murdered this man. Once they confirm what was reported to have been found in Brian's room, Brian is arrested and taken to the police station. Now, I have to say, the responding officers, from what I saw, did seem to handle the situation pretty well. They remained calm at such a gruesome sight, and they were also patient and mindful of how they were dealing with Brian.
Okay.
The man that Brian had murdered was Warren Barnes. Warren was a 69-year-old man who was homeless at the time of the murder. He was known around the downtown area, described as a quiet, gentle, hard-working man. The shop owners, some of whom would refer to him as the reading man, due to, you guessed it, his love of reading, well, they would often look out for Warren, providing him with food, drink, and books.
See, I can't read.
Well, you can't.
I can read.
Yeah.
But I don't. Like,
you struggle to kind of get into it and stay focused on it.
Yeah, I have one book. It's 33 Strategies of War. And it's supposed to be one of them books. It's amazing. Once you've read it start to finish, you think differently.
See, I've heard about that book before. And I, from what I've heard, there's two types of people who read it.
Okay.
People who read it to understand how people operate and people who read it to operate like that, okay. If you know what I mean. But like I said, I haven't read it myself. I don't actually know.
Yeah, I think I've read one chapter and I've had that book. I brought that with me 9 years ago, didn't I?
Yeah, you bought it and then we're like, that's a nice bit of decoration. Leave that there.
So, yeah, I just wanted to elaborate. When I said I can't read, I can read.
He's backtracking now, lads.
I just struggle a bit.
Yeah.
Like people on our Patreon are probably aware from the Neil's Nuggets, when I'm reading, it sounds like a fucking 6 year old.
I think also, though, if you're to write something, if you're not to write it in your own words, if you're to take from someone else's, like say you took a quote or something.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's harder to read someone else's words.
Yeah.
It's not how you
would actually say it. I do find
it
easier.
Yeah.
Reading like my own words.
So like I was saying, a lot of the business owners in the area would look out for Warren. One of those was the owner of Monique's Bridal. She had set up a chair in a sunny spot outside of her shop just for Warren. And he would spend a good portion of his time just sat there and reading.
Keeps him busy.
Well, even while completely engrossed in a good book, Warren was always said to have took the time to acknowledge others as they passed by.
See, if I'm reading, I don't know what's going on around me. I have to...
You're locked in on that.
Well, I have to, or I struggle. Like, I wouldn't be able to read a book outside because all it'd take is a bird to fly past and then I'm looking at the bird. And then I might notice a cloud. Then I might notice a plane. And then I forget I'm reading.
I can't do it with the sun. I can't work on like a laptop or, you know, a tablet or read a book in the sun. I don't know if my eyes are a bit too sensitive, but yeah. You know, you see some fucking prick sat there on their lunch break. And it's doing a bit of work. And it's like, how are you doing this? No. I struggle to look at my phone.
Yeah.
You know? Hours before police arrived at Brian's home, the owner of Monique's Bridal reported Warren missing. On the Monday morning, Warren didn't show up for work. In the years that Warren had been employed with them, he was always reliable. Every morning, he arrives at 6 o'clock or earlier, gets a coffee, and then gets to work. This just wasn't like Warren.
Yeah, people always said that about me. Because, say if I'm starting work at 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm there at 8 a.m, I'm late.
Mm-hmm.
I'd always be like 10, 15 minutes early.
Yeah, I'm the same. 10, 15 minutes is on time to me.
And people would always say they could run the clock by me.
Yeah.
But they'd also say, if you didn't come in, we'd know something bad happened.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't phone in sick.
But see, this is the thing, right? If I ever go missing, right? It's you know.
It's me.
You're going to know fairly quickly because I'm so routine. But yeah. The other problem is I'm so routine that if it's a stalker who's took me, they know all my patterns. I'm too routine.
Yeah.
So
you need to mix it up a bit.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm up in the ante of getting kidnapped. But yeah. I'm also, you know, it's going to be easy to report it afterwards. You know, this and that. You got to go with the bad.
Yeah.
So knowing that Monique was close to Warren, they called her shop and asked about him. She tells them that she had last seen him on Saturday and she expected to see him on Sunday, but that he had never shown up. So Monique is a bit panicked at this stage. She's fairly sure something bad has happened.
Yeah.
Not only would this behaviour be completely out of character for Warren, but his wallet was also found down by the river. And it's not likely that Warren would have walked all the way out there. It just would have been too far. Now, the person who found the wallet and handed it in was Brian Cohey's father.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's a fucking coincidence, that, isn't it?
Oh, it will come back to it.
Oh.
Don't worry, I'm just going to leave you hanging. At the time of the murder, Brian Cohey was 19 years old. At the age of 5, Brian was diagnosed with ADHD, but his autism diagnosis would come years later, just 2 years prior to the murder. He had also been diagnosed with clinical depression, and he was on medication for ADHD as well as antidepressants.
Isn't that something they say comes hand in hand quite often, ADHD and autism?
I think so. Along with his current diagnosis, certain indicators gave reason for further testing for potential psychosis. So Brian is on medication for ADHD as well as antidepressants for his depression.
Yeah.
But certain indicators gave reason for further testing for potential psychosis. His mother did ask for referrals and sought further testing, but she was never able to get an appointment for him. And over time, Brian seemed to be doing well, and this just sort of got forgotten about.
Yeah. It's like me with a hernia.
Slightly different situation.
No.
You avoided it.
I kind of avoided it, but it stopped hurting, so it was like put on the back burner.
Just so you know, lads, he's got it all sorted out now. That was years ago. He's not still, like, delaying it.
Yeah.
Brian himself stated that he had never experienced hallucinations, but that he had experienced delusions. His delusions involved believing that people were constantly staring at him, watching him.
Probably was happening.
Well, it was to the point he felt like, you know, people were looking at him through the window or birds were, you know, yeah, it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. His mother stated that she knew that Brian had a fascination with the morbid, as she described it. But she thought that he was interested in turning this curiosity into a career, possibly that of a crime scene investigator. During his high school years, he was given the nickname Dahmer due to his fascination with Jeffrey Dahmer. Although Brian would later describe himself as being more akin to Edmund Kemper.
What? So he corrected them. He didn't deny it. He was like, well, actually.
I'm much more of a Kemper type myself. Also, during the school years, it was noted that there were some behavioural issues with Brian, which at first I was thinking, you know, heard this before, behavioural issues.
Yeah.
Same thing with the morbid curiosity. It's kind of like, doesn't make someone whatever, but I mean, we're here on the podcast talking about it, so it did go at the darker end.
Yeah.
Apparently, you know, there were genuine behavioural issues. And it went far enough that other kids didn't feel safe around him. And Brian was suspended multiple times, reasons including scaring classmates and carrying a weapon.
Oh.
Mm.
So he was like known as the weirdo.
Basically, yeah. Now, I do think Brian did go through some bullying and shit, which, you know, of course, not okay. But from what I gather, he wasn't making it easy for others either.
Oh, he was making it easy for others.
What?
Well, like, he was giving them a reason to be horrible.
No. I mean, he was doing things to bother other people as well, though.
Okay.
So he wasn't, like, purely a victim of bullying.
Yeah.
After graduating from high school, Ryan worked part-time as a bagger in Safeway. Now, if there hasn't been already, there's a few warning signs with this lad.
So, can we just go back to the bagger thing?
Mm-hmm. That's not a thing over here.
Why can't Americans just do their own shit?
I know. The only time you see baggers, we wouldn't even call them baggers, but the only time you see baggers, I'll say it again, baggers, over here is when it's a charity thing. You'll go to the end of the till and they're stood there with their bucket and they start like, do you want me to do your shopping for you? And you're like,
absolutely not.
You're going to pack it wrong.
Absolutely not. You've been picking your ass, playing out in the fucking dirt. Then you're going to touch my fucking food.
Well, they're going to put the head of lettuce in the bottom of it and get it all like smashed up and my eggs and I can't deal with it.
So here we go, Americans, just in case you didn't know, this is going to give you a heart attack, this. Imagine going into the shop, getting your own trolley or your own basket, going around and picking your own food, carrying it around while you're getting everything else, going to the checkout, scanning the items yourself, paying for the items, bagging it yourself, carrying it to your own car, and driving home.
I think Americans do self-checkout now in some stores. In some stores.
Oh.
Yeah. No, maybe not all of them.
Okay, maybe I've been an ignorant...
Maybe you're a bit out of line. No, but like I said, when we have people bagging it, it's, you know, for charity. I will give you money for charity, but don't touch my stuff.
Yeah.
I will do it and here's some money.
Yeah.
Done.
It's 10p now. Fuck off.
So like I said, there was a few warning signs. Let's take a quick look at his search history.
Oh. Let's have a look at Megan's search history.
Well, let's not. So Brian's search history included the likes of how to cope with murderous thoughts, homicidal ideation, homicidal thoughts every day, how deadly is a stab wound to the neck, how do people react to being held at knife point?
Okay, so up until you said the last two, it was like, he's looking for guidance in some way.
Yeah.
But then it gets to the last two and it's like, okay, what the fuck?
Yeah, when I read those first ones, I was like, you know, kind of grey area.
Yeah.
But no. took a nose dive off a fucking cliff right there, didn't it? Now, something else that's not great. At one point, Brian's parents found something in his room that caused a bit of alarm.
An Ed?
No, this is before
the
actual murder took place.
The knife?
Well, yeah. As Brian would later tell investigators, what they found in his room was a kill kit. A hammer, shovel, knife, zip ties, duct tape, and a saw.
His parents found that?
Yes.
And if they didn't think, we better take that?
Well, this is the thing. So when they found this, his parents gave him an ultimatum. They said, either he gets rid of it or we're calling the police.
Okay.
So they did make him get rid of it. But, I mean, at this time, Brian also carried a knife in his car.
Right.
So his parents did actually, they were aware of that at one point, and they did confront him. And Brian kind of played it off as kind of for protection type of thing.
Yeah. Well, you can carry, even in the UK and Ireland, I think if it's under 3 inch.
No, this was a large kitchen knife.
Oh.
Yeah. He actually took it out of the house. They noticed that the knife was gone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not great. We're ramping up a bit here, lads. In 2018, Brian beat and strangled a cat to death before keeping the head in his possession for 3 days.
Right, fuck that guy. Mm. I'm done. I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, but he's mentally ill. No.
Well, it was known around the area. Like, some people did know that he had killed the cat. But like a lot of people would probably assume, it was just a rumor.
Right, okay.
You know, so you kind of was like, oh, Brian, did you hear Brian killed a cat and he kept the head? You'd be like, would you fuck? No, he didn't, you know.
Yeah, like
he's the weird kid. It's easy to target him kind of thing. But I mean, not always. Sometimes it is the truth. Look at you with the frog killer.
Yeah.
Mm. So same as when police arrived at his home, Brian was very forthcoming with information about the murder. He tells detectives that on the evening of the 27th of February, he was out driving when he spotted Warren sleeping under a roadway in the downtown area. Dressed in a blue jumpsuit, he gets out of his car and puts on 3 pairs of gloves before approaching Warren.
Why 3? Oh, because he's stabbing. Protect his hands.
Brian does actually make a comment on the gloves later.
Okay.
He makes his way over to Warren, pulls back the canvas and begins stabbing him in the neck as he slept. Brian said that during the attack, he was behaving in an animalistic manner, growling as he was stabbing Warren.
Good hell.
Now, of course, Warren is completely caught off guard and he's freaked out, panicking, and apparently turns to Brian and says, what are you doing? Why?
Yeah. Not get off me.
I mean, he was asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, first thing you know is someone pulling something back and him feeling a stab.
Yeah, and...
And also it's in his neck, so it's...
They say as well, when you're getting stabbed, it doesn't feel like you're getting stabbed. It feels like you're getting hit.
Mm.
You don't actually feel like you're getting stabbed. So,
well, yeah. I mean, you're from Sheffield, so...
What's you've that got supposed more to mean?
You've literally been stabbed in Sheffield. Sorry, not stabbed, you were slashed.
I was.
Slashed.
When I was like 13.
Mm.
Yeah.
13.
I hadn't done anything, guys. It was a random attack.
Random attack.
It was a thing what was going around, Sheffield.
It was the style at the time.
They did happy slapping and then, yeah, they'd get like a craft knife. Is it craft knife? The little...
Yeah, box cutter.
Yeah, box cutter. I was walking, I was stood at the red light waiting for the green man.
Like a good citizen.
Yes. And I was crossing over and whoever was walking the opposite, like it was in middle of city centre, so it was busy.
Mm-hmm.
And as they were coming past, slipped my leg.
Yeah.
Yeah. I miss Sheffield.
Ah, home sweet home.
Those were the days.
Once Brian had killed Warren, he then proceeds to mutilate his body. Brian decapitates Warren and, brace yourself, Neil, he then repeatedly stabs his eyes.
Nah. See, you could leave that out. You're not sorry at all. You're doing it just to fucking get a fucking rise out of me.
I could have left it out. The reason why I included it is because he's already severed his head.
Yeah.
And he's still causing harm to the body. That shit freaks me out.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it will be okay, obviously, but it wasn't even part of the attack. You've already killed this man and you're just wanting to mutilate his body. Do you know what I mean?
I still think you're just trying to get a reaction out of me.
He then severs Warren's hands and cuts off his right forearm before moving up and cutting at the shoulder.
So is he just cut the body up and then he's bagging it up and taking it on?
Yeah, basically. More or less, yeah. He tries cutting his left arm, but said that because he had, quote, accidentally broken his arm during the attack, the bone was already protruding, and I'm guessing it just made it a bit difficult for him.
Huh.
He then takes the dismembered limbs and scatters them around the scene. He places the hands in a plastic bag and the head into a pizza box and puts them into his car.
Pizza box?
Mm-hmm. He must have had it in his car already and just grabbed it.
Taking the piss?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the whole point of the story, is that Brian is massively taking the piss here. So at this point, Brian has murdered Warren, horrifically mutilated his body,
yeah,
took pieces of his body with him. He then takes pictures of Warren's body parts before deleting them as he realises that they were evidence. But not the head and the hands, no.
Like,
yeah.
So I don't put this down to I needed to kill. You're enjoying it.
Oh, 100%. He's getting satisfaction from this. Following this, Brian washes the blood from his car and knife before heading home and going to bed for the night. The following evening, Brian travels back to where he committed the murder in order to dispose of the rest of Warren's remains. He loads the body into the boot of his car.
Drunk. For the Americans.
With the intention of concealing them in the Colorado River. But while doing this, Brian floods his car. The shocking part of this, police were called to the scene and they talked to Brian and everything. He tells the police he parked his car on the boat ramp and his car slid down. You know, it was an accident, and as far as they could see, no one was hurt.
Yeah.
And they asked Brian, what are you doing out here? Because again, it's later. It's,
yeah,
what the fuck's going on? He tells the officer that he just needed to get out for a bit and thought, I'll park up here and just relax for a while. The officers are laughing because they're just thinking it's a kid who's fucked up his car. It's a bit of a mess, but nothing serious. And his parents are here to collect him. We'll get a tow truck. It's fine.
Yeah.
So with that, Brian was able to leave without the murder being discovered. After his parents drop him home, they come back to deal with the tow.
That's mad, but they just laughed it off.
Because as far as they can see at that point, it's literally just, you know, dumbass kid.
Yeah.
Doesn't know how to really operate the vehicle.
And he weren't scared at all, so they should have been looking at him like, he's a fucking psychopath.
Well, like, Brian was a little bit skittish at this interaction, but it was February in Colorado. He had gotten soaked. He was freezing cold. You know, it's a little bit of a shock. His car's wrecked. So they're thinking, oh, it's just a kid who's a bit nervous. He's a bit, you know, whatever.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
But like I said, his parents drop him home and they come back to deal with the tow truck.
Because I'd be at least like, me fucking car.
That's what you'd say.
Yeah.
The officer walks over to his parents and says, hey, we noticed some red liquid dripping down the bumper. Kind of looks like blood.
Yeah.
And you think to yourself, oh shit, this little fucker's about to get caught.
So what was his excuse?
Well, I mean, the thing is, the officer is saying this to Brian's parents.
Yeah.
And there's no immediate concern. It's kind of like, hey, what is that?
Yeah.
But the officers actually assumed it was Brian's blood. They asked his parents if he had hurt himself while getting out of the car. You know, in the panic, could he cut himself? And they say to ring him and make sure he's okay. Because, you know, with the adrenaline going, maybe he didn't notice and he'd gone home, you know.
Yeah.
So they ring Brian and they ask him if he's okay or, you know, if he has any cuts or anything like that. And he goes, no, I'm grand. I'm all right. And he tells them that he doesn't know what could have caused that red liquid.
Right.
Now, you'd think.
The cops would look into it.
Well, that's it. That maybe the officers would be like, all right, maybe we have a quick look over.
So let me guess, it were Well, we don't know, and if you don't know...
Well, surely an unknown source of blood leaking from a car dumped in a river at night is enough to pop the boot and have a little look-see.
They didn't even open the boot.
No, no, they released the car back to Brian's parents. And I swear to fuck. Like I said, to the initial thing, he's a kid, he's gone to a bit of bother. All right, we can excuse that. Blood or a blood-like substance drip, just pop the boot.
Yeah, just have a look.
Give it a little look. Not going to harm anyone.
But they were like, okay, well, if you don't know, you know, just leave it.
Just leave it. Not doing anyone any harm, apparently. So, after Brian's arrest, his parents follow him down to the station to give their statements. With tears in her eyes, Brian's mother, Terry, says, quote, I was in his room cleaning up, putting some things away. I saw a plastic bag. I picked it up. It was heavy. I held it in my hands. Maggots covering something. I carried it out to the sink. It was double bagged. So, Terry opens the first bag, but she couldn't bring herself to go any further. She obviously knew this isn't fucking good. Now, just to throw a spanner in the works here.
Yeah.
Brian's mother, Terry, also runs a daycare from her home. So she's got all these kids in her home during this discovery. Fucking so hell. She has to ring all of the parents and get the parents to quickly come pick up their kids before she can even deal with this situation. Yeah. Can you imagine how freaked out she would be?
Yeah.
While trying, like,
fucking hell.
Apparently she just told them that it's a family emergency. Can you please pick up your kid? And,
yeah.
And then each parent who's coming by is obviously going, are you okay? I hope everything's okay. So it's kind of like, yes, you're fine. Take your kid. Fuck off.
Yeah.
She also talks about the previous night down by the river. She tells them that Brian had actually had a procedure recently, and that could have been where the blood came from, if that had reopened. She also stated that Brian previously took a special effects course, and that he had told her that one of the containers of fake blood could have burst in his boot. So
funny you've said that, because I got it in my head when they were like, oh, I don't know what this red substance is. I was there thinking, wouldn't you just say I had some fake blood in there from Halloween?
Well, I mean, this is the thing, though, because if you're to believe, I mean, he literally had a container of fake blood, you go, oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't even think twice. So fake blood could have been, I mean, we know it's not.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's from her perspective, could have been the case at the time. But then his father, Brian Cohey Sr., tells authorities that after they got the car back, he was cleaning it out and he opens the glove box and finds a knife. He then finds a wallet in the door card compartment. Yes.
He disposed of it then?
No.
Oh, he said he found the wallet.
He found the wallet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he knew it wasn't Brian's. So he looks in the wallet and finds Warren's employee ID. He rings the business, asks about Warren, and they tell Brian Sr. that, yeah, we know Warren, and that, yeah, he hadn't shown up today. So with that, Brian Sr. decides to confront his son.
Okay.
Brian just tells his father that he found the wallet while out walking in the area that previous night. His father says, quote, he was so sincere. I wanted to believe him because he's my son. Which I'm sure most parents can identify with, you know.
And there is some parents out there who were, my son can do no wrong.
Yeah. There's plenty of them about. But can you imagine that sinking feeling that his parents must have felt at that point? Knowing that the night before when the officers pointed out the blood, how dark the situation will become. All these kind of plausible, that's out the window now.
Yeah.
That's fucking, that's long gone.
But so the father should get in trouble, shouldn't he?
For what?
Because he told police he found the wallet by, a canal?
No.
Oh, I thought... I just wonder you said something like that. But he said he found that the wallet was found by...
That's where the wallet had been found initially.
Right. Okay.
Brian admits to being down that area.
Right, okay.
As far as the police knew at that point, the wallet had been found down by the river because that's what Brian had told his father when he reported it, you know.
Okay. Sorry, I got wrong end of stick again.
Just as with his initial confession to the responding officers, Brian is very upfront, clear, and concise when he speaks. Very matter of fact.
Which so, you've always said that's how you'd be. If you got caught, you'd just be like, you've caught me, so I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, there's no point of fucking about
yeah.
at that point. I mean, they've got you.
Yeah.
So while talking to the investigators, Brian says, quote, I was driving along and I see a shape here on the railway track. And I was like, oh, interesting. I'm like, that's a homeless person. So I grab my knife, I put on 3 layers of gloves, because plastic gloves can betray their users because they're so thin. I took the knife, I pulled back the canvas, and I stabbed him in the neck. Now during this, Brian uses the wall to draw a diagram of the area where he committed the murder. And after demonstrating how he killed him, he states that, quote, it was actually surprisingly easy. Following the detailed account given by Brian, he states, and this is like what you just said, quote, it's murder, so I figure, why fight it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're caught. Be upfront, be honest, give them all the information you possibly yeah. can. But the problem with Brian is, he seems to really enjoy reliving this memory.
Right.
Reliving this murder. He's giddy talking yeah. about it. Almost proud that he has, in his mind, joined the ranks of other killers.
Okay.
Like, when he talks about the mutilation, he says, quote, I stripped his clothes. I cut open his belly to see his guts. They were really pink. He then laughs before apologising and saying, sorry, that was morbid.
Yeah, see, like, laughing and stuff, it's
like giggly. Yeah. He's enjoying it so much. It's unsettling.
It's like you can talk to me and I'll be normal, but then you could talk to me about, say, Due Date or something like a movie I like.
Mm.
Yeah, I might get a bit more enthusiasm talking about it. That's him with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there were some points during the interview where Brian was kind of like, as you would say, dithering his leg.
Yeah.
He was kind of bopping about and kind of twitching around. But that was how Brian was.
That's
that was
the
quite
ADHD.
A normal. Yeah, it was quite a normal characteristic of just how he would behave.
Yeah.
He did not seem in any way nervous to me. Slightly nervous when he was getting arrested and going through the process. But once he was sat in the room talking, he was enjoying his kind of, his moment. Yeah. You know what I mean? Ryan also tells the investigators about the 3 rule. Have you heard of it?
I have not.
I bet you haven't.
Oh, the 3 rule.
Well, because...
You don't call someone, you wait 3 days.
No, you're wrong. You will not have heard of this because Brian is the one who coined the term, this set of rules.
Okay.
This is Brian's thing, Neil. Right. Don't you dare try and take his thunder. Steal his thunder, even.
Yeah.
So here's the 3 rule. 3 hours, rigor mortis sets in. 3 days, the smell of decomposition starts. 3 weeks, the body starts to seriously decompose. 3 months, the body is unrecognizable. And 3 years, the body is skeletal. So Brian had like this little rule, set of rules set out from
okay.
his guidelines of decomp.
Yeah.
How long he can keep a body or I don't know exactly.
So he was hoping to have that body in his room for 3 years?
No, he never said that.
Okay.
He was just, he was interested in death and things of that nature.
See, the only other thing I had in my head was Fight Club. You know, we do not talk about Fight Club.
We
do not talk about Fight Club.
Well, that's kind of the opposite of Brian's motto. You talk about absolutely anything and everything to do. He also talks to investigators about serial killers. And he says, quote, if these people can do it, so can I. Following his confession and fairly detailed statement given to investigators, Brian was charged with first-degree murder, tampering with a deceased body, and tampering with evidence. Shock!
Yeah.
On the 17th of January, 2023, Brian's trial begins. He pleads not guilty by reason of insanity. His defense argued that due to his diagnosis of ADHD, autism, depression as well as other contributing environmental factors, he had been driven insane. During proceedings, Brian was examined by three psychologists. Two concluded that he was sane at the time of the murder, and the third, hired by the defence, disagreed, stating that Brian was experiencing a psychotic episode at the time of the attack. The prosecution argued that this was, in fact, a load of bollocks.
Yeah, because if you think autism, ADHD, like, so we covered one not long back and it were schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
This is ADHD and autism.
Well, okay, here's the thing, right? There was concern for psychosis.
Yeah.
With him. Fair enough. But even if we're to go off that, if we're to assume Brian was going through a psychotic episode during the murder, well, he had been planning it for months beforehand. And like the prosecution argued, he knew to hide the evidence.
And he was now, giddy about it after.
But this is the thing. I understand that, you know, it can be a prolonged period during a psychotic break.
Yeah.
But like I said, this was months and months. He knew to hide evidence. He had planned this murder, even confessing his plan to another person months previous. Not to mention, he returned to the scene and attempted to dispose of Warren's remains.
Yeah.
He also stated that he had targeted Warren because he thought no one would notice the disappearance of a homeless man.
But it's a homeless man who worked.
But Brian specifically stated he was deliberately looking for someone who was either homeless or a sex worker.
Yeah.
He ended up going for someone who was homeless because he said there wasn't as many sex workers in that area.
Yeah.
You know? Even when talking to the investigators, he's got this kind of like GTA type vision of I'm going to pull up on a corner and I can get a woman into my car and off I go. And that didn't pan out for Brian. It breaks down to the fact that Brian was able to distinguish between right and wrong, which in Colorado is the difference between being found legally sane or not. The court heard testimonies from Brian's family, his therapist, doctor, and psychologist. His mother took the stand to give her condolences to Warren's family and to ask that when sentencing her son, that he receive treatment for his mental health. Quote, he was a child who had the odds stacked against him from the beginning. A child who was loved. A child who was prayed for. A child who had struggled his entire life with emotions.
Yeah, like, he did. Mm-hmm. But not only did he do a bad thing, he knew what he was doing. And he was excited to talk about it after. Like, he's proud of what he did.
Oh, of course, I feel for the family. That's a difficult one to go through. But on your argument of Brian was vulnerable in some ways, Brian also deliberately targeted others who were vulnerable.
Yeah.
Tit for tit.
That's the saying.
On the 3rd of February, 2023, after a 12-day trial and a 2-day deliberation, the jury found Brian guilty on all three counts. Brian appeared emotionless as the verdict was read aloud.
Because he knew it would come in.
Of course he did.
Like.
Brian was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, and an additional 13 and a half years for the other charges.
At 19?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
12 years for tampering with a deceased body and 18 months for tampering with evidence. The judge noted that this case was one of the most horrific that he had ever worked on. Fucking bet it was.
Yeah.
In November of 2021, a statue in memory of Warren was unveiled. The statue is a recreation of the chair where Warren had once sat to read his books.
That's nice.
It really is. They also added to the statue a tree to shelter, and a pile of books were also added to the memorial.
So people can go and sit and read.
Actually, the books are placed on it, so you can't even sit in the chair.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't you? That's Warren's chair. The metalworker who created this piece, Tim Navin, he had actually experienced homelessness himself, and he'd interacted with Warren as well. So I can imagine this product most likely struck a chord with him.
Yeah.
The words on the statue simply read, "Warren was here," as well as, "and you also." The words that Warren would always reply with as someone told him to have a nice day.
See, if you walk around Sheffield, I'm pretty sure you'll see Neza was here, 2K4, IDST.
Brian selected Warren to be the victim of his grotesque desires, based on a notion that no one would miss him once he was gone. Brian was undoubtedly mistaken. And that is the murder of Warren Barnes.
You think 19?
And that's 19 years old, yeah.
So he's not even legally able to drink or gamble and is locked up for life.
Yeah.
And because he can't go for parole, so it's not like he could serve 50 years and still have 10 years of freedom.
But the thing about this, like I told you when I was writing this up, because, you know, we were a little bit pressed for time with everything that was going on.
Yeah.
And I was saying there's so much I want to add in, but I also have to edit it down a bit just for, you know, to get it done and everything. I mean, there were so many things, like I said, you hear about him kind of being a victim of bullying, you go, oh, well, that's not on. But also, Brian kept, I mean, this doesn't mean anything, but once you add it in, you go, oh, not great. He kept a journal with different names of serial killers, and he would have like their kill count and their motive, the type of killer they were. More. It is quite intense. Also, in school, he was known to have been loud and obnoxious, constantly trying to get attention, which, again, is annoying, but whatever.
ADHD.
It's not the end of the world. But he was also said to have shouted out some racial slurs and things like that.
Right.
So not great. Don't have a huge amount of sympathy for Brian.
So do you think with the book, with him writing the kill counts of different serial killers, do you think he was going to do more? He was going to try and...
No, I think that was just a fascination and kind of studying different killers. Oh, maybe, okay. You know, like I said, that I'm more of an Edmund Kemper. I think he was almost selecting who he wanted to be like.
Okay.
Where do I fit in this, in his mind, this hierarchy of shytalks?
Yeah. See, what happened to watching the Power Rangers and being like, I wish I was the Green Ranger. Not, I wish I was Ed Kemper.
Times have changed, apparently.
People used to idolise Superman, Spider-Man, and now it's serial killers. Idolising the serial killer.
Well, I mean, you say that, but there's always been people like that, hasn't there? There's a very big difference between being, I mean, again, this is why we're all here. This is why I'm doing the podcast. This is why you guys are listening.
Yeah.
Because we all have this interest in it.
Yeah, but I don't think we have a favourite serial killer.
I mean...
You could say... Most interesting case.
Yes. Like you know for me, Ed Gein will always just blow my mind because it's just...
And for me, it's Carl Panzeran.
Because he is so intense.
He's just...
Whereas for me, it's like this kind of like nice, timid little man living in this house of horror.
Yeah.
And also, I'm scared by the country.
Sorry.
It freaks me out.
Speaking of Ed Gein, we was watching Friends the other day, right? Because Charlie Hunnam, I don't know how he's going to play Ed Gein. I don't know what that's going to be like. But we were watching Friends, and the lad who plays Phoebe's brother.
Giovanni... what the hell is his name?
Google it.
Rib something.
I looked at him, and the way he is and everything, and I was like, him? If he played Ed Gein, I think it'd be good.
Hmm.
I can't see... How the hell does Charlie Hunnam go from Jax Teller...
Which, give him a... He's an actor. He's an actor.
Yeah.
He's a chameleon. Give him a chance.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Right. Oddity. And then we'll try and get this electric on.
Coffin bells. Did you ever?
Can I make a guess? I've never heard of it, but can I make a guess?
I mean, I think it's pretty self-explanatory now.
In case you're buried alive, you can ring a bell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do I just pack up now, or...?
Do you remember a couple of weeks ago, I watched a video, and someone had done, like, an illustration of how to survive if you're buried alive, if you wake up in the coffin.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember it? It was
yes,
like,
yeah.
You
it
would
was,
not be
dig
able
yourself
to...
out. And I was like, what?
They were like...
The pressure.
They said, punch... Right, don't forget, this is a solid wood...
Did you say
coffin.
Punch? Punch your way out.
He said, punch through the coffin and make a hole so the dirt starts falling in. As the dirt falls in, keep scooping it
and,
to your
and
feet.
And caves your chest in your head. Like, what the fuck?
They were like, keep scooping it. And the dirt was falling just as quick as he was scooping it. And it's like,
yeah.
That would cave in...
They,
done.
They basically, obviously it was meant to be a joke. I hope it was meant to be a joke.
No.
It was literally like this guy was doggy paddling through 6 foot of dirt.
Minimum. Yeah. No, that wasn't a joke. That was supposed to be a survival thing.
No. let's stick with the coffin bells, lads. I think it's a better option.
Yeah.
Right. So coffin bells, grave bells, or safety coffins have been kicking around for a while, but it wasn't until the 19th century when coffin bells were a big thing. They were all the rage when it got into the 19th century. And, you know, this was in case of premature burial, which at the time especially, I would say, was a fairly justified fear.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd only have to have the sniffles and they'd be trying to put you 6 feet under.
Yes.
Back in day. So the structure itself consisted of a pipe or wooden frame with a bell attached, and that would be driven down into the ground and into the coffin. A piece of string would be fed through into the coffin and attached to the bell on the other end. And if you found yourself in the unfortunate position of being buried alive, you just give a little pull on the rope.
But you wouldn't be able to see the string. It's pitch black.
Maybe it's attached to your finger or something, and maybe it's just like, hello? Anyway, yeah, you just give the rope a little pull and I suppose pray to fuck that whoever
you never
was...
have to use it.
Well, no, pray to fuck that whoever's... Well, yes, actually, no, that's first and foremost. Yeah. Hope you're dead before you're buried.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, just hope that whoever's on shift in the graveyard that night hadn't got on break and was around to hear it. Because that's the other thing.
Well, so if it were in the UK, you'd be fucked because we're constantly on tea breaks.
Yeah, no.
We work...
Before we recorded today, we had just had a cup of tea. Right. And I'm like, right, Neil, come on. Time's getting on. We need to record, especially, you know, like the electric thing and also just heat. Like it's fucking freezing trying to record this. Yeah?
Yeah.
And Neil was like, yeah, just have a cup of tea before I record. I'm like, we just had one. Now, here's the thing.
Any Brits listening will agree with me. Right. How we work. I don't know if all Americans work like this or not, but most people say they're working a 9-to-5. They clock in at 9, they work up until the lunch break, have the lunch, then they work the second half of the shift and they go home.
Yeah.
But in that 4-hour slots...
15 tea breaks.
No. I'm talking about Americans.
Oh, excuse me.
But in that 4-hour slot, they're just working at a slow, steady pace and they'll start drifting off towards the end and not getting as much work done.
Mm-hmm.
Us Brits... We're clocking at 9. In that first hour, we will get so much fucking work done. More than what anyone else would in that first hour.
That's what you claim anyway.
Then you have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
A fag if you smoke.
Yeah.
Cigarette. And then you do another hour or 2 hours. Hammer that fucking workout. Fast paced. You get loads done. Another cup of tea.
No, but see, I agree with you. I'm with you here, right? Like we said earlier... You and I, we're both the same in terms of if you're on time for work, you're late.
Yes.
10, 15 minutes, whatever it is.
You
want
to be ready for work.
Yes.
At your start.
I agree with you. And also, I don't give a fuck whoever I'm working with. They can take 20 fucking breaks if they want in that day, as long as they're getting the work done.
Whatever workload is for that day.
If you get 2 hours work done in an hour, hour and a half, I don't give a fuck if you're sat there on your phone having a coffee. Do whatever you fucking want.
Yeah.
So I agree with you there. But no, I will actually, I'll take issue with you here now because this is something I've noticed. This is the difference, right? The Irish love their tea.
Yeah.
We love it, right? But the difference between the Irish and the Brits is that, and this is very specific with you and I in our household.
Me and you.
Yeah. So Neil will get up and first thing, it's put the kettle on.
Yes.
Have a hot drink. Whereas
I can't
for
do
me,
anything without a drink.
For me, I might get up and have a cup of tea. But if I know I'm going to be eating in the next like half hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like say I've literally, right, I'll get up, I'll get that wash thrown on and then I'm going to sit down and eat. I'll wait and I'll have me tea with me food.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Tea but first.
Neil will have a cup of tea and then say he's eating with me. He'll wait the half an hour, have another cup of tea. Then he's finished his cup of tea. I'll have a coffee. And then about an hour later, I'm gasping. I better have a cup of tea.
My guts are playing up. Yeah.
It's just nonstop. The Irish love it, but I think like we savour it. Whereas you just feel uncomfortable without it nearby.
Yeah.
But I get annoyed. Do you ever see them people, they make a cup of tea and they leave it to go cold and they make a fresh one? You've wasted that.
I watched,
no need for that.
Like, it's a sore topic with our listeners, especially the American ones, because I was slagging them rotten in the Facebook group, and now they keep winding me up. I watched a video of an American woman. She put a tea bag in a mug, mm-hmm. poured milk in, mm-hmm. then she put 3 sugars in this, then she got bottled water, poured that in, and then chucked it in the microwave.
Yeah, I've seen that. Now, I tell you, sorry.
I hope that house burnt down. Right, I hope it caught fire from that microwave.
We're going on a bit of a tangent here, but just on the subject of tea, because I've said this before, right? I'm not like, oh, it has to be this brand. To me, a cup of tea is much more about how it's brewed.
Yorkshire.
You have to brew the tea. It doesn't matter what fucking brand it is, right? But I'm also going to contradict myself a little bit here now, because that's just the way I am. So many brands of English tea, terrible. Now, Yorkshire tea, I'll give you that. Yorkshire tea's nice, right?
Yeah. Yorkshire.
But when I was last in the UK and I was subjected to PG tips.
Yeah.
Horrible.
PG tips used to
disgusting.
Be disgusting. I'm sure it used to be nice.
Disgusting.
But that one in the hotel.
Awful.
And weak as piss.
And that one at the conference. What the hell was that?
Conference.
Oh, you didn't have any. You were on the coffees. But I had a cup of tea one of the days and I was like, what the fuck is this?
Right, Crime Con, sort it out for June.
Please.
In fact, no, I'm just going to buy some Yorkshire tea and make my own at Crime Con.
I actually might bring my own tea bags because I was very upset.
So if you're at Crime Con and you want a decent cup... Right, we'll do that. Any listeners who are going to Crime Con, if you want a decent cup of tea, come over to our table. We've got you covered. I'll have some Yorkshire tea bags. Now.
But can I also say, no, hang on, right, because this is the other thing, right, because there's two, like, main Irish brands. There's Barry's and there's Lyons.
Yeah.
I'll drink either. Barry's is better in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I'll drink either. But I'm just as happy to go to Tesco and get an own brand.
Yeah, we have
Twinings. Think it's Lidl or whatever.
We have Twinings, Typhoon, Typhoon.
Twinings.
What?
Twinings.
Twinings.
It's Twinings.
Twinings?
It's not Twinings.
It's Typhoon, Twinnings.
Typhoid.
Typhoon.
Oh, I love the old typhoid tea bags.
Coffin bells.
Coffin bells. Well, that's pretty much it, lads.
So the oddity was our argument on tea.
I do.
Just because you said you hope the worker's not on a break when you're ringing a bell. We just had a 15-minute rant argument. On tea.
I do have one last bit to go with the coffin bell. Okay, we'll recap it now because we went a tangent. Yeah, so put you in the ground. You might be dead. You might not. There's
a
bell there.
Bit
of string. Wiggle your finger, and you know, hopefully, you're saved.
Yeah.
That's coffin bells for you. I don't know what to tell you.
Done. Good night, everyone.
I have one last bit to go with it.
Okay.
It's thought that these devices could be the origin of the saying, saved by the bell.
Oh.
See, I always thought boxing.
Them. I love them. You
love
know.
What? Love what?
The sayings. Like
the sayings.
But there's meaning, like something happened. Or,
yeah.
I love them. You know, like...
Like the bite the bullet thing and all that. Yeah, well...
Like shotgun.
Yeah.
You know, if you say you're calling shotgun, it costs... And a carriage, someone would sit next to the driver with a shotgun.
See, I thought saved by the bell was boxing reference. That's what I thought.
Well, yeah, it is.
No,
you're
but
saved
I...
by the bell, yeah.
Yeah, but that's where I thought it came from. But...
Yeah.
Some people believe this is the actual origin of it.
Could be.
Could be. We just pick and choose, you know? Mix and match.
So, that's coffin bells.
Coffin bells.
And Yorkshire tea.
Yeah. Not PG tips, though.
No.
No demand for that. Good shite.
No, it's shite.
Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Patreon, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. If you have a case suggestion, or maybe even your own story, email us at mortalmusingspodcast@gmail.com.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step 1. Go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2. Collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3. Play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games. All for free?
Step 4. Unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.